I want to wrap the last three lessons up in a package for you tonight. I think this will help you. This is one of my favorite things to do. I love teaching healing, and I like this particular lesson because it clarifies things for people. Now, when we talked about the origin of sickness and disease, that was lesson number one. We found out when Adam sinned in the garden, spiritual death was a result of his sin. God told Adam, in the day you eat, talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day you eat, you will die. Well, Adam lived 930 years, so he obviously wasn't talking about physical death. Talking about spiritual death, which means to be separated from God. Through sin, Adam was separated from God. Now, the curse of the fall is physical death, and physical death was a direct result, and we did that in Genesis chapter 3, a direct result of spiritual death and sin. Now, the unusual accompaniment, the ordinary accompaniment, the most prolific accompaniment of physical death is sickness and disease. Sickness and disease is a direct result of Adam's sin. Now, you can cooperate with Adam. You can add to Adam's sin by your own sin, cause your own trouble. But you don't have to, because sickness is in the world. Sin is in the world, but you don't have to sin. Spiritual death is in the world, but you can choose eternal life. Physical death is the last enemy that we'll be put under. That day is yet future. But disease has been eliminated for all who will believe and receive the healing provided by the blood of the cross. So this is kind of like throwing a rock in a pond. Once you had Adam's sin, you had spiritual death, you had physical death, and then you had disease. Now, Jesus' death is the remedy. And there's only one remedy for sin. There's only one remedy for disease, and that's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where you have a remedy for sin, you have a remedy for everything that sin has done. It's when the door opened to Satan through sin. Satan came in and did anything he could do and everything he could do. He's the thief that kills, steals, and destroys, so he can do a lot of different things. And through the door of sin, he tried to do all of those different things in our life. But when Jesus came, he eliminated sin for all who will believe. They can have their sins remitted or blotted out, and they can be healed of all their diseases. Now, look at James, and let me prove this to you from the New Testament. James chapter 5. My, it's a wonderful, wonderful package deal. Verse 14. We talked about the origin of sickness and disease. We talked about the remedy, which is the shed blood of Jesus. And we talked about the remedy is for all, because God so loved the world that whosoever believes. So the remedy is for all. Now, this confirms that. He says, is any sick among you? So who is this going to work for?
Anybody.
It's going to work for any. Is anybody sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up if he have committed sins. See that if? If. You can be sick, you can just run into a germ. This is planet Earth. Disease lives here. It came through Adam's sin. You might get a disease, but Jesus is the healer. But if I cooperate with disease, I cooperate with sin, I open the door for disease, so I am with my own sin adding to what Adam did. We're going to have enough trouble through Adam. We don't need to help Adam out.
Amen.
Get my drift? So we should be able to come boldly before the throne of grace and receive our healing. Now it says, if you've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Once again, you see the two things, the forgiveness and the healing. The forgiveness, all through the anointing of oil, which is a type of the work of the Spirit of God. So confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Once again, entangling or intertwining for us sin or faults and freedom from disease. You see the two work hand in hand. Now let me show you the scriptural example in John chapter 5. If you've committed sin, I use this as my example all the time because it's graphic, it's easy to see. You go from man to man, woman to woman, you're going to get some strange disease. The strange disease is on planet Earth through Adam's sin. It comes to you through your aid in abating of Adam. Don't help Adam out. Don't cooperate with what he has done. Stand on Jesus' side and say, by his stripes we were free. Now, this is a man that was sick, verse 5, 38 years. That's a lot of sickness, isn't it? I love this. Now, look at verse 14. Jesus healed him. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come. Once again, you see the strong inference here. He said, behold, you are whole. Sin no more. That it was something that he had done that opened the door for sickness and disease to come. Jesus has come along and healed him. Jesus heals and forgives. It doesn't matter how you got sick. You can get your forgiveness. You can get your healing. If you got it through Adam, or if you and Adam were working together, Doesn't make any difference. Jesus is the answer. And then he says, sin no more. Lest a what? What could be worse than being sick 38 years? Can you give me 50 years? Yeah. He said, don't do that again, or something worse is going to happen. And you can see sin opens the door for disease, but that's not the only reason. Disease comes because it lives here. Now look at John chapter 9. Let me prove that to you. This man was born blind. And the disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Assuming that there has to be sin somewhere for this man to be born blind. There is. It was in Adam. But it wasn't in this man. It wasn't in his parents. And Jesus said neither. It wasn't anything personal that had been done. It was that Adam caused sin. Sin brought spiritual death, physical death, and disease into our world. And Jesus said neither. Now, this passage bothers people because it's the way it's worded. Let me read it to you. Neither hath this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of God. You'll read it to you again? Yeah. All in how you read it. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him, I must work the works of God. Now, this bothers people because they say, God made him sick in order to make him well. Well, how dumb can you get? And still breathe. First of all, we have the scriptural reference, God is not a thief, and the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God makes no man sick. We have three references. We gave those to you, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went by doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. The devil is in our world. Adam opened the door. And every man, so we can't throw too many stones at Adam, has chosen that same thing for all of sin to come short. Everybody makes the same choice Adam did. If you'd been in Adam's shoes, you'd have made that same choice more than likely. Now it says, Jesus is going to come and work the works of God. You know in Matthew chapter 12, it says, a house divided against itself cannot stand, and a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A kingdom. And then it says the kingdom of Satan, and talks about the kingdom of God. There are two kingdoms. You're in the kingdom of Satan if you're a sinner. You're in the kingdom of God if you're a Christian. Now it says if a kingdom is divided, in other words, if a kingdom opposes itself, it'll never stand. Now what kind of kingdom is God's kingdom? Is it one that's going to stand or one that's going to fall? Stand. We have the reference in Hebrews that says we have inherited a kingdom which cannot be shaken. You cannot shake, move, upset, destroy the kingdom of God. So God can't be making them sick and then making them well. Because then his kingdom would be destroyed, and then you're in a kingdom that's only temporary. And you don't believe that. And you know that's not true. This is a permanent, eternal kingdom. It cannot be moved. It cannot be shaken. It's headed by the Lord of glory who says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. So God's not making them sick, not making them well. He's simply saying to this man, I can work the works of God while you're here. And that's exactly what he did. Now, let's eliminate sickness for the glory of God, because there are that, you know, that rumor. You know what a theory is? It's a supposition based upon no facts under consideration. A supposition based upon no facts under consideration. There are those that say this man was sick for the glory of God. No, he was healed for the glory of God. You've got to let the scripture teach scripture and not the religion teach scripture. It's not an institution or a person. It's the Bible. It's the Word of the living God. Now, quickly. Oh, my. Look at Matthew. And let me show you. Every reference to God getting glory is in reference and respect to healing. Not sickness, but healing. It wasn't the sickness that brought God glory. See, there's always somebody gets sick, gets in the hospital, lays down and says God's trying to teach them something, bring great glory to himself. God doesn't need your little bitty disease to bring great glory to himself. I'm sorry, but you're not that important. Says he could heal every sickness and every disease. Now here's a healing. Verse 8. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which gave such power unto men. God got glory when this man who was brought by four was healed. Look at Matthew 15:31. Let me show it to you again. There's multiple references. This is a woman that came on behalf of her daughter. Verse 31. And after that, great multitudes were healed. Verse 30, verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see. They glorified the God of Israel. God is not glorified in sickness. He's not the thief. He doesn't bring sickness. He brings healing. He brought healing to the blind man. He says, neither he has sin, nor his parents have sin, but I'm going to work the works of God while I'm here. And God is always glorified when his work is done. Now let's look at it again. Look at Luke chapter 5. Verse 26. This is the man with the palsy. Verse 25, he was healed. Immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, departed to his own house, glorifying God. You know, some things are in the field of ridiculousness. You go up to the hospital. You believe that sickness glorifies God. You go up to the hospital and you stand over somebody that's dying and you say, let's lift our hands, brother, and say, glory to God, I'm dying. Glory to God, what wonderful, terrific pain. I'm so glad I look terrible. I'm so glad my flesh is being destroyed. I'm so glad my life is shortened. I'm so glad my wife's going to live without me. I'm so glad my children are going to be orphaned. And they will kick you out because it's a lie. Sickness does not glorify God. It's healing. Oh, and I just have heard enough of that to shout, shout, shout. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. Now here we are. This man glorified God. And then verse 26, they were all amazed and they glorified God. When they saw the man was healed, they glorified God. Look at chapter 13, verse 13. There's enough proof we should be able to lay this aside. Here's another healing. Woman sick 18 years. Verse 13. Jesus laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. What is it that brings God's glory? His healing. His healing power. Well, for those who aren't convinced, look at chapter 17, verse 15. Is that all right with you? My, once you see this, once you see that, what a precious, precious truth. These are the 10 lepers. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You are not going to find one single scriptural example. Are we scripture people? Do we go by the word of the living God? Does the word say in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established? You're not even going to find one witness, not even one, where sickness brought God any glory. Not even one. It was healing. It was healing. It was healing. It's in the book of Acts as well. Now, in this wonderful verse in Matthew, it says, you are the light of the world. Look at Matthew 5, is it? Let's just put this to rest. Verse 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. What glorifies the Father? Good works. What is a good work? Healing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. Acts 10:38. Doing good and healing. Healing glorifies God. Now let's for those who are still not convinced, let's look over to Lazarus. It's been a bone of contention, but we'll lay this to rest in a hurry. Sin brought sickness into our world. Jesus' death and resurrection provided healing and freedom from sin to all who will believe. Now, verse 4 of chapter 11, when word came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, says, this sickness is not in death, but for the glory of God. Said, see, I told you sickness brought God glory. No, 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 you didn't. You can't read. Now look over, let me show it to you. When Jesus, verse 40, met Martha and Mary, he said unto her, you know, they said if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yeah. They're just a little bit ticked off. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He's been sick and he's dead, but they haven't seen the glory of God yet. Jesus said, I told you you were going to see the glory of God. I told you you would see the glory of God. I told you you'd see the glory of God. He's sick and he's dead. So when are we going to see the glory? When are we going to see the glory? When is God going to be glorified? When he says, Lazarus, come forth, and he walks out of that grave. Sickness does not glorify God, but my healing does. Healing, 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 healing. Everywhere people are healed, people begin to raise holy hands and begin to shout and begin to shout unto God with the voice of triumph, begin to realize God, Almighty God, heals today. He has to heal today. It's in the blood of the cross. Now look back at John chapter 5. Are you convinced? Yes. Two people are convinced? I went to all that trouble for two people? Sickness is a result of sin. Sin has been conquered through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing bring God's great glory. Always did, always will. You know, one man told me he had a heart attack, and he said that he was so glad he'd had that heart attack because God had done that to him, because he was able to win the man in the bed next to him to the Lord. Well, as much as I appreciate his fine witness, and I'm glad the man in the bed next to him came to the Lord, I know he could have gone in there on his own 2 feet and won him to the Lord without having a heart attack. All you have to do, it's done every day. We have teams of people who are doing that, is go and say, we're praying for people today. Can we pray for you? And the hospitals will welcome you. You get them well, they're not mad at you. You don't have to be sick. It's not your sickness that brought witness. It was his words that brought the witness. You can speak the words on your feet in good health. In fact, you'd be happier speaking them in good health, wouldn't you? Well, okay. I'm passionate about this. You can't tell that, can you? Now, this man been here 38 years. There are two ways to be healed. Say two. Through the gifts and through faith. People are always tied up and said, well, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to, when he wants to, if he wants to, because he's sovereign. First of all, you need to open your dictionary and look up the word sovereign. It means supreme in authority. He is supreme. He is the God that created the universe. He did say light be and it was. He did send the Son. He did raise the Son up from the dead by the glory of the Father. He is indeed sovereign. But the sovereign God put in his word exactly what he was going to do, and he always honors his word. Now, in the gifts of the Spirit, this man in John 5 was healed by a gift. It's as God wills. It's the most interesting thing. You come to this man and Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? And he says, I can't be made whole. I got nobody to help me. So first of all, it tells you he's not in faith, is he? He very clearly says, no, I can't be healed. I can't be healed. No, nobody to help me. He's dependent upon the pool of Bethesda. Five porches of people. This is an early nursing home. Five porches of people. He said, sir, verse 7, I have no man. And then Jesus said, rise and get up and walk. Right on the verge of him saying, I can't be healed, Jesus said, get up. This man's got no faith. Now you go back, they chased him down, the Jews did, and asked him how he got healed. Most interesting, verse 13. He that was healed did not know who it was. He didn't even know it was Jesus. Was he in any faith at all? He didn't have a clue how he got his healing. He said, I don't know who it was. Now look at the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians. There are 9 manifestations of the Holy Ghost listed here. One is gifts of healing. It's listed in verse 9 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. But here's the verse, verse 11, after these 9 are listed that I want you to see. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The gifts are always as God wills. In other words, you can't order a gift of healing. One fellow told me he injured his left knee. May have been his right knee. It's important. I don't know which knee it was. But he injured one knee. And he came to church for prayer. He came on a Sunday. He told me this himself. And he waited and waited, and pastor didn't minister to the sick. He was disappointed. But he came back Sunday night, thought he'd give God another chance. And nothing happened. See, he's not exercising faith. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting on his duff waiting for God to do something. If you're waiting on God to do something, you may die sick while you're waiting. The gifts are as God wills, and they're for some people. God doesn't heal everybody with a gift. Faith is for all. Faith always works all the time. If any is sick, doesn't it say if any? Well, the next Sunday he came back not to be discouraged, and he said, pastor got up there and said, I want to pray for somebody that injured their knee. And he said, and this man had injured his left knee. He said, and it's your right knee. So it's not him. He's not qualified. Because it wasn't his right knee, it's his left. He was so discouraged. He said, I'm coming back to this church one more time. He's waiting on a gift. You never know if a gift's coming. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it's not coming. Obviously, it's not coming. He came back Sunday night and nothing happened. He told me I went out the parking lot. He said, I took out my car key, opened my car door, and stamped my foot and said, I wanted you to do that for me. But I know by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. So right now I receive my healing, and standing right there, he was completely and instantly healed. He could have used his faith all the time. He wanted somebody to give it to him. Now, as much as I appreciate that, God does give things to people. You don't know if he's going to give you anything or not, but you do know faith worketh. Every time faith worketh. We heard the story about a fellow. He was an alcoholic, and his friend kept inviting him to go to lunch with a group of friends. They were all Christian, but this man, it was a setup. And they bugged him. He's an alcoholic. He's a sinner. Finally, he said he thought he'd just go to lunch with him, just get rid of him, you know. And he went to lunch, and they offered to pray for him. Well, he thought, he looked around, you know, this is embarrassing. But he said, what could it hurt? You know, he wasn't expecting anything. And they prayed for him. They explained salvation to him. He got completely healed. Never drank another drink of alcohol the longest day lived. His wife's a lifelong alcoholic. She watched him for 2 weeks, and finally she said to him, why aren't you drinking anymore? He said, you know, I don't really know. I don't want to drink anymore. She said, you reckon those people could help me? He says, I'll call and ask them. And they said they sure could. And he dragged her to lunch with the guys. And they laid their hands on her, and she never drank again. Now, Almighty God knows what He's doing. When He sends out a gift, He knows the purpose. We can't always see the purpose. I can tell you one purpose of this, though. Within a short period of time, they won every relative they had to the Lord. Now, what do you think? This man's been sitting here for 38 years, and he rises up well. How many people knew in those five porches knew this old boy? Every single person knew him. Sometimes the gifts come because it triggers faith in the rest of us. We see God's at work and we think, oh, I could have that. And suddenly our faith works. That's often the reason. This man didn't know who it was. The gifts come as God wills, as the Spirit of God wills. Let's read another reference to it in Hebrews chapter 2. God is sovereign. He's supreme in authority. He said, I'm going to do things by gifts. I'm going to send the gift when I want to, where I want to, if I want to. When I see fit to send a gift, I'm sending a gift. He made room in His Word. He said in His Word that that's what He was going to do. He also said, but you can have it by your faith. What things soever you desire, when you believe that you receive, you can have. You don't have to wait on any gift. Faith works for all. Now this is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. God bearing them witness with signs and wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. We watched the films of Catherine Kuhlman, and you can still get them. She moved a lot in the gifts of the Spirit. God used her in that measure. And she had a long line of people. After people were healed in the audience, she would interview and talk to them. And you can see it on the movie. And this man, a short little man, she asked him, what happened to him? He says, well, I can hear. She said, oh, you came to get your healing. He said, oh, no, ma'am, I didn't come to get any healing. He actually was the driver. He brought a friend who couldn't drive themselves. He's in line with his friend. He didn't come to get anything. Why'd God do that? I don't have the foggiest idea. You don't have to know everything. Well, she questioned him at length, and finally he got exasperated with her, and he said, ma'am, I'm a scientist, and a good scientist knows healing does not work. She said, but you can hear. He said, I don't know how that happened. Now, this man's not in faith. God said, I'm going to give the gift according to my will. He does that when he wants to, where he wants to. If he wants to, he knows how to do it. He's orchestrating some things. He's fixing some things. He's opening up some doors. He said in his word, that's the way I'm going to do it. But he also said, your faith would work. Now here's the difference. Very important. If y'all don't get as excited as I do, you are going to get as excited as I do, right? Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Thank you, Father. I appreciate the gifts. I got a gift one time myself. A man ministered at this church, and he said, I want to pray for somebody that has something wrong with their throat. Something strange wrong with their throat. It's not a sore throat. It's not this. It's not that. He named a bunch of things. Wayne and I talked about it. I said, you know, it isn't this. It isn't that. It's just strange, I said. That's what this man said. It's just something strange happening to your throat. So he came, and I went up there, and he laid his hands on me, and I thanked him, went back, still couldn't swallow, still had something strange happening in my throat. We went out to a burger place. I don't eat burgers, not even one a year in most years, but I ordered a burger. It came. It was real. I thought, I don't know why I did that, because I can't even open my mouth. And then it suddenly dawned on me that that would have been a gift, and just like I thought of that, my throat cleared up. Just like that. God just gave it to me. Why did he do that? Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't my beauty. It wasn't my good works. He wanted to. He just wanted to. He said, I'm going to do what I want to. But here's the other thing. He said, and I'm going to do anything you want me to do. Are you getting that? Faith always is according to your will. It's never according to God's will. God stated his will when Jesus died and was resurrected. He said, healing is for all who will believe. It's everyone. It's whosoever. It's like playing checkers. 2,000 years ago, God made the first move. Now you make the second move and healing comes to you. Healing by faith is always whatever you want. Whatever you desire. Mark 11:24. Look at Matthew 15. This lady comes to Jesus on behalf of her daughter and asks for mercy. First of all, verse 23, Jesus totally ignored her. Isn't that the most interesting thing? Totally ignored her. And then when she persisted, he said, no, I'm not sent to, but to Israel. Said, you don't qualify. I'm not doing it. And she said, Lord, help me. I love that. And he said, no, this is for the children. And he said, yeah. She said, yeah, but I could be healed just from a crumb off of the table like a dog. Amen. And here's the clincher. Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He did it because she wanted it done because she asked him to. Faith always works because that's what you want. That's what you ask for. Now, many people are not healed because they're waiting on Almighty God to do something. He did 2,000 years ago. He did it already. And until you do something, nothing else will be done. It's according to what you want. Now, let's read it again, John 15:7. Healing works both ways. Oh, mighty God. I like the gifts. Nobody's going to turn down a gift. But you know what happens? You wait on a gift. You may die. God may never send a gift to you. I don't care how good looking you are. How many Sunday school pins you've got. How much tithe you give. So I'm a 15% giver. It won't make a dab of difference. Healing doesn't come by giving. Comes by faith in the blood. Comes by faith in the blood. Now you know verse 7. Maybe you haven't seen it before. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you want. Don't wait on God to do something. He did it already. He's already done it. He's already done it. So tell him what you want. Say, Lord, I injured my knee years ago now. It took me a year to get my healing. You got to be persistent. And I'm telling you, there were times when I thought, you know, come Christmas time, somebody said, you want to walk the mall and do some shopping? I said, no. I mean, my idea of shopping that Christmas was, you better put it on the rack by the door. I'm only going inside the door to the first rack, and then I'm going home, prop my knee back up. I am in agony. But I kept talking to it. I said, you are healed. It's according to your faith. According to your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith. It's what do you want? What do you request? What have you asked for? What are you standing for? Well, I finally got it. Every now and then that old knee rises up. I have to talk to it again. I say, no, 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 you're not doing that to me. Whatever you desire, whatever you, what do you want? What have you asked for? I just thought God would do it. Well, he won't. He won't. Unless he decides to give you a gift. People live and die waiting on a gift. You know, I could wait all day on my birthday, see if you're coming. Most of you aren't coming. I said, where are my friends? This is my birthday. I'm into the big numbers now, you know. You're not coming. I don't even know if my children are coming. I don't know who's coming. Maybe nobody. And sometimes if you don't remind Wayne, he's not coming. He forgets things. Don't wait on a gift. Appreciate the gifts. Applaud the gifts. Shout for the gifts. Believe in the gifts. Said, Lord, send a gift anywhere you want to send it. To anybody you want to send it, anytime you want to send it. That's the way to pray. Amen. But said, as for me, Lord, as for me, I have healing in my knee. Because the blood of Jesus was shed for me. It took care of sin and sickness too. And if you believe, his power will work in you. What is it you want? He said, woman, you have great faith. Now look at Matthew 8. He said, be it unto you for whatever you want. Now, for some very brilliant artwork. I can't draw at all. You know that already. God is so good. Let's see, I have a black pen. Matthew 8, verse 5, the centurion came on behalf of his servant. And he said to Jesus, verse 8, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof. Speak the word only. He told Jesus exactly what he wanted him to do. You just speak the word. Now, you know, if you came and you said, I want anointing of oil, we'd do that. You said, I'd rather have laying on hands. Whatever you want. Whatever works for you. Wherever your confidence is. They said, no, you just speak. This man had great confidence. He said, you just speak. He ordered it. He told Jesus exactly how to do it. He did, didn't he? Well, Jesus didn't say, no, today I'm in a laying on hands mode. He will do for you what you ask him to. He's sovereign, and in his sovereignty, God who does not lie said, I'm going to do some things by the gifts. Some things through faith. The gifts work as I will. The faith will work as you will. Now he said to this man, verse 13, go your way as you have believed, be it done. As you have believed. What is Jesus going to do for him? Whatever he believed that he would do, whatever he asked, whatever you believe for, that's what I'm going to do. So I just thought, you just thought God would show up, didn't you? And he might, but he might not. You know, I'd rather do something I know is going to work. You know, if you ask me to bake a cake for something, I only have a couple recipes I know work, always work. I got some that I really like. They don't always work. Got a wonderful recipe for a chocolate coffee cake. I mean, it's a chocolate layer cake with coffee in it. It's not a coffee cake. It's a layer cake. It's very, very rich, and sometimes it's so rich and so moist you can't ice it. Well, I'm not bringing that one. I'm not sure about that one. I probably should stick with my sour cream pound cake. Works every time, anytime, all the time. Now, I have a pound cake recipe belonging to my grandmother. I have the recipe. She told me exactly. It says one box of flour. Okay, we have a problem with that. Oh, but I got it figured out. I've checked on it. Before she died, I asked her. I said, Granny, we called her Great Granny. I said, Granny, what is the box of flour? She said, oh, I always use a confectioner's box. Fill it full of flour. I went, took out my pencil, made a note there. You know how many times I've tried that? I can't get that to work to save your life. So I gave the recipe to my daughter. And I said, fix Granny, Great Granny's pound cake. She came over. She baked it. We both looked at it. We both went, And then we cut into it. And then we went, She says, it's not exactly right, is it? I said, not exactly. We better stick with sour cream pound cake. I know that. You better stick with faith. I know that. Amen. Now, faith doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. Amen. Can you believe you could hear me overseas for 60 hours? I mean, you could die in your chair if we didn't believe in healing. Here's the physical body. That's just for people who sit in the back so you can see. Here's a physical body. Inside this body is a spirit man, a hidden man, a spirit man. Now this man's been born again. Now what does the scripture say? God said, I sent my word and healed you. He sent his word, he sent his promise. Is that what he said? Yes. Sent my word. Where does the word go? Oh, it goes into the spirit. So where does healing start? So while healing's working on the inside, what does the flesh know? Nothing. What does it perceive? Nothing. What does it feel? Same pain it always felt. Doesn't have a clue what's happening. But there's something happening on the inside. God sent his word. It begins on the inside. Here's where people come. They disconnect. They get impatient. Faith and patience inherits the promise. You've got to walk with God. There was a movie out. Wayne and I were watching. I actually seen it twice. A lady was, it's a documentary. Actually, it's not a movie. It's a documentary. And she was taken by the Chinese in some other era of time. And she was pregnant at the time. And they kept her until about the time the baby was to be born. And they took her to the edge of their, there was a, must have been a demilitarized zone or something. They took her to the edge of that zone because they didn't want to be bothered with her and the baby. And they let her go. But it was miles and miles into Hong Kong. I saw it on the movie. She's still alive. I heard her tell part of it herself. And going, it's so far away, she couldn't see. Now, people, they had notified people they were releasing her. So they're waiting. They know she had come that way. And she's dragging. She's huge, great with child, and she's dragging. For miles and miles and miles. Just, you know what patience means? It means be steady. It means don't jump ship. Don't quit. Don't stop. She stops. She sits. If she stops, she never stopped. Precious, her husband was in Hong Kong, and he waited for her. Saw her coming. He crosses that line. They will arrest him. He waited for her till she took that last foot sprint into his arms. Walked many, many miles, 9 months pregnant, ready to deliver. She kept at it. Seeing if I know by his stripes I was healed, he sent his word and healed me, and no weapon formed against me prospers, and I hold steady. I order that. I said, Lord, I want healing in my knee, healing in my knee, healing right here in my knee. Lord, healing in this knee, healing in this knee. He sent his word and healed me. You know, I don't know but two or three tunes. I use London Bridge's Falling Down, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and, you know, just sing it your way. And I claimed it. He said, whatever you desire, Becky. He said, whatever you want, according to your faith, whatever you believe. Most of us not believing anything. And then if we do start to believe something, we feel around our body, said, it's not happening. One lady came to me and she asked for prayer. And I said, well, sit right here. And she sat down and I prayed. And about the time I finished, she said, you'd have to pray again. That didn't work. She's one of us. You know what I'm telling you? So I said, okay, ma'am. I thought, it's no use. I laid my hands on her, I prayed again, and she said, still didn't work. Well, she's not checking her. You can't. She's got absolutely nothing in the spirit. The only thing she's doing is checking the body. It's got to go into spirit first. If it comes through the word, God's word is spirit and life. John 6:63, his word is spirit, and it comes into the spirit, and healing comes out of the spirit. Now, it doesn't much matter to me if it bursts out or trickles out. You know, a great dam can break, and water, thousands and thousands of gallons of water come over that dam. I mean, just all of a sudden, you've got water everywhere. That's wonderful. Healing everywhere. But it wouldn't matter to me if a little hole opened up in the dam, a little bitty crack, and healing begins to pour out that little crack. Your body is the last to know what's happening. You cannot ask your body if you are healed. It will not know. It doesn't come first to the body. It comes first to the spirit. And it comes out of the spirit. And look at Mark chapter 5. Let me prove this to you. He sent his word to heal me. This is the one with the issue of blood. She'd been sick 12 years. Continually getting worse. Verse 27 said she heard of Jesus. First thing that tells me is she's going to operate by faith. Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. What did she order? According to your faith, where was her faith? She's going to touch him. She didn't say, I might be. And she had to go find him. Now, the one with the issue of blood was not allowed in public. She could be stoned. If they catch her in public, they will stone her and kill her. That's legal. She found him. She touched him. Now, verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned and said, who touched my clothes? Jesus didn't even know who it was. How did she get it? She ordered it. It's paid for. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Disease does ravish and bring great pain. But he washed me white as snow. She ordered it. She said, I'm going to touch him and I'll be whole. And then right there, in that physical condition, she went and found him and she touched him. And Jesus said, the word virtue is the word power. Verse 30. It's not a different word, same word. Knowing that power went out of him, he said, who touched me? I just love that. According to your faith, what is it you believe? What is it you want? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Now, if it's illegal or immoral, you understand other contexts. Some things are illegal, immoral. Like the little man that wanted me to pray he could marry his neighbor. And then I talked to him, found out his neighbor's already married. Some of us are not very smart. It's stunning. I don't care what you order, if it's illegal or immoral, it's not coming. But if it's written in the Word, hallelujah, it's written that you look and live. Look and live, look and live, look to Jesus. He is my healer. He has healed me. His blood is at the altar of heaven. His blood says forgiven. It says remitted. It says healed. It says redemption. It's mine. It's paid for. All I have to do is stand up and say, God, that's what I need in this right knee. And then for a year, I said, thank you for my healing. I said it all through Christmas. Have you ever sent Wayne Cumby Christmas shopping? Not so good. That's very simple. He thinks like a man. He doesn't think like a woman. You'd expect that, wouldn't you? And the year drag on. Here's Easter, and everybody's got high heels for Easter. I'm thinking, come barefoot. You forget it. My knee hurts. But I said, thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. Thank God I am healed. Hallelujah. Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. He has set diseases free. I ordered it. Amen. Now listen, I used to love catalog shopping. I'd call my favorite place and I'd say, this is customer 157. And they'd say, hi, Miss Cumby, how you doing? You know, computers are wonderful. They instantly know. So you still at post office box 3283? I said, yes, sir. What do you want? I said, page 26. I want item AFG in pink. I really wanted a size 4, but I could see that wasn't going to work. I did want it in size 4. I just can't button a size 4. And he said, okay, we have that in stock. What's next? Now, you know, I kept going to the post office. Every day I'd go to the post office. What am I looking for? My package. Why? I ordered it. Do you know they never failed to send me what I ordered? Not even one time? Never. I ordered it. He sent his word and healed me. Order it. According to your faith. He said, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you as you will. Whatever you want, ladies, what he said. I said, what do you want, Becky? I said, healing in my knee, healing in my knee. Healing, healing, healing in my knee. Now I go to the doctor, they want to MRI my knee. They say, you have blah, 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 blah in that knee. And then they want to take a picture of my other knee. I just love it. It's like misery loves company. And they say, oh, you got blah, 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 blah in your other knee as well. And I said, okay, I have healing in both knees, healing in both knees, healing in the left and in the right. I just increased my order. That's all I did. I increased my order. The hand of God is not shortened that it cannot save. I got it too. Power went out of Jesus into her. He didn't even know who it was. She had to introduce herself. Said she, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, verse 33, fell down before him. He said, thy faith made thee whole. Now he didn't say my faith. So I thought Jesus' faith would heal you. Well, you thought wrong. It's your faith. According to your faith. According to your faith. He didn't even say my power healed you. There isn't any scriptural references to my power healed you. Where did the power come from? From the faith. Where there's faith, power comes. If you put the word in you, faith comes. And where there's faith, power comes. And it begins to spread from the inside out. Let me show you that. First, is it 1 Thessalonians? Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. God is so good. God is so good. We pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and fulfill the work of faith with power. How is he going to fulfill the work of faith? With power. How is he going to fulfill the work of faith? How is he going to fulfill the work of faith? Where does faith come from? The power comes from the faith, but where does faith come from? It comes from the word and it comes to you. And then once you have the faith, you place your order. You see that, don't you? Now let's look at a couple more things. Look at John chapter 4. Faith and patience. You place your order. You tell God what you want. What you want's based on what he did. You can't have something he didn't do, but he did heal us by his blood. We know that. We did two lessons on that. Now this man comes on behalf of his son, the nobleman, verse 46. His son was sick at Capernaum. And he said, Jesus, my son's at the point of death. And Jesus said, verse 50, go your way, your son lives. Now this is what's fascinating. Go your way, your son lives. And the man what? He believed the word. What did he believe? He believed his feelings. He believed he felt something. See, if you come say, I know I'm healed, my blood pressure's down. Tomorrow it might be up. I know I'm healed, my sugar level's finally normal. Might be up tomorrow. I know I'm healed, not be any pain. You might roll over in the middle of the night and pain grab you by the back of the neck and go all the way down your spine. If your faith is based on a feeling, Martin Luther said, feelings come, feelings go, feelings are deceiving. I rest upon the word of God, naught else is worth believing. Amen. He had that part right, didn't he? This man said he believed the word and he went home. And as he was going, his servants came and said, your servant lived. Now this is the fascinating part. Verse 52, he inquired of them when he began to amend. Do you see that? He wasn't instantly healed. He began to amend. The 10 lepers, it says they were healed as they went. They were traveling to the priest. That's what Jesus told them to do. And they were healed. Healing is not always instant. It can be very progressive. And they said it happened to him. He began to amend when? What is that word? It's yesterday. Yesterday at the seventh hour. The seventh hour is 1 o'clock, just after lunch. He said, that's the very time Jesus spoke to me. So at 1 o'clock after lunch, Jesus said, you go home, your son lives. And he believed that. And for probably 24 hours, he'd gone all the rest of that day and through the night headed home, not knowing a thing except Jesus said. He couldn't see anything. He didn't feel anything. There was no newspaper, no letter, no telegraph, no email, no phone call. All he knew is Jesus said, go home. Your son lives. And he went home. And he was alive. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. See, it isn't a feeling. It's I know what Jesus said. I know what the blood has done. I believe what the blood has done. I believe the report of the blood. And because of the report of the blood, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, I order healing for my knee. I thank you, Father, whatever's wrong with my knee, I'm asking you to completely and fully correct it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm receiving it as done. And every morning, every time that knee pain, I say, thank God, I'm so glad my knee is healed. Now, one lady got totally healed. She was in a wheelchair. I can't remember if she's a paraplegic or quadriplegic, but she didn't walk. She couldn't walk. And she began to say, I'm so glad I don't have to sit in this wheelchair anymore. She began to say it. She said, I got tired of sitting in this wheelchair. I wanted to cook for my husband again. I wanted to take care of my children again. I didn't want to live and die in this wheelchair. She said, I'm so glad I got my healing. I'm so glad I'm healed. I'm so glad Jesus healed me. There she sat. If you ask her what she felt, same thing she'd always felt. She's a sick woman. They ask her how she looked. She's paralyzed, partly paralyzed. She doesn't look good. She doesn't feel good. You say, well, she's not healed. God said she was. All she did was believe in God. In spite of the circumstances, she believed God. In spite of everything, she believed God. Another fellow, he goes to church here. He told me he decided to quit smoking, but he couldn't. He tried. He tried to, but he couldn't. So he began to say, he asked Jesus, take those cigarettes away. He says, I don't want them. I want to be healed. Whatever's necessary, God, you do that for me. And he began to say, he said, every time he'd light a cigarette, he'd say, I'm so glad I don't smoke anymore. He said, thank God I don't smoke anymore. Thank God I gave up smoking. Thank God God's helping me, and I've turned loose on my cigarettes. He said it, said it through March, April, May, June, July, August, the end of September. Said every time he lit a cigarette. And he was a chain smoker, smoked several a day. He said in September, his wife said to him, when'd you quit smoking? He said, have I not been smoking? I haven't been smoking. I'm not smoking. He said, oh, I'm not smoking. I'm not smoking. I'm not smoking. How'd that happen? He ordered it. God said, according to your faith, what have you ordered? See, if you order it and you hold steady, one step at a time, one foot at a time, I begin to say, thank God. Thank God. In spite of how you feel, in spite of how it looks, in spite of how long it takes, it's coming. It's coming. Healing power is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Healing power is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's working down in me. Healing power is coming. It sets my body free. Do you believe that? I know that's true. Let's pray. We thank you, Father. How wonderful you are in Jesus' mighty name to help us, to heal us. 2,000 years ago, you provided for it. We can order it anytime we get ready for it. And thank you that you place our order and it comes from the Spirit to the body. We have it now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.